De sta.
Varnashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadhyara haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse from the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains the true principle of performing one's prescribed duties in this world. Sometimes we hear that by performing one's work without hurting anyone, by working honestly, very hard, being obliged to all one's family, social, and national responsibilities, that is dharma, that is the path of liberation. But Krishna is here explaining that the path of liberation is to please Krishna. Whatever we do, the perfection of our actions is when we please Krishna. In this Daivi Varnashram system, we should know that on the transcendental platform, there is really very little difference between what varna or what ashram we may be living in. Amongst the Shankarites, in order to really dedicate your life and accept the true path, you have to begin by taking sannyas. Because as long as you have any material possessions or any worldly social responsibilities, you're in bondage, and you can't even really begin the path of liberation. But the path of bhakti, which is the perfect and highest realization of all the scriptures, is so powerful that in whatever ashram you are in, it really doesn't make much difference as long as you have the proper understanding of the goal of life, which is to please Krishna. We find in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, there were great sannyasis like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. We also find brahmacharis, Nakula Brahmachari, Govinda, Kashishwar. We also find grihastas, such as Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, Shivananda Sen. Did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ever differentiate that one is superior to another? He told Raghunath Bhat Goswami, do not marry. Do not become entangled. Remain a brahmachari. He told Nityananda Prabhu, get married. Find a nice wife and live in the grihastha ashram. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was directing his devotees according to, one, what was most needed as a service to human society to elevate them in Krishna consciousness. And two, what was the best way that that particular devotee, according to his nature and inclinations, would advance in devotional service. These two factors must be very carefully considered. There is a need for perfect grihasthas in Krishna conscious society. Because after all, in order for a spiritual mission to survive, there must be funds, and there must be people who are exemplary. Even the sannyasis and the brahmacharis, they are dependent on farmers growing food. They're not allowed to do that themselves. They're dependent on people who are engaged in trade and other sorts of social activities. So the grihastha ashram is essential in society. And there is a need for people in that ashram who are pure, moral, compassionate, charitable, and God-conscious. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established the perfect standard of every ashram. When he was a grihastha, it is explained that whenever he saw anybody in need, he would help them. He would give them prasad. He would sometimes give them his own clothes. He would always be compassionate toward them. And he would give them the holy name of Krishna as well. And he was constantly, always before any meal, inviting people to his house, feeding them first. If there was anything left, then he would eat. In this way, he established that a grihastha must be detached. And that detachment means he must be charitable. He cannot be selfish. The inclination in the grihastha ashram is to be thinking in terms of I and mine. Janasya mohoya maham mimeti. I am this body and this home, this family, this wealth are mine. And we live for that. We become in the sphere of our own isolated, selfish condition of life. This is a terrible impediment for spiritual advancement. A grihastha must see to the needs outside of his own little circle of me and mine. You cannot become Krishna conscious if you are self-centered. You have to be God-centered. God-centered means a service attitude. This service attitude is the basis for all spiritual advancement. Therefore, the first social principle for all grihasthas is to be charitable, to extend oneself on every level to help those who are in need, physically, mentally, and especially spiritually. And the spiritual duty of a grihastha is sadhana, to every day chant the holy names, to strictly live according to the moral principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, to perform puja and offer one's house to the Lord, and especially to hear the scriptures and to regularly serve and associate with sadhus. If a grihastha performs these duties, he becomes an essential contribution to the re-spiritualization of all society. And according to one's natural inclinations, and according to one's particular type of consciousness, sometimes we can advance better as a grihastha, or better as a brahmachari or a sannyasi. So these two factors are considered. how we can best serve suffering humanity and how we can best advance spiritually in our own lives. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a beautiful story. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri, some of the residents from Shikhanda came to visit him. Shikhanda is a very holy place. It is just close to Katwa, where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas order of life. And many of the most exalted associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were residents of this place. Every year during the Chaturmasya, along with the residents of Kulinagram, Navadweep Dham, Shantipur Dham, the residents of Shrikhanda, the devotees, would come to visit with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya would give them all of his associates, specific instructions by which they could live according to the whole year. And Mahaprabhu, although he gave very specific, detailed instructions to Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, because it was their service to write transcendental literatures, to give guidance and light to all humanity for all time to come, to most of his devotees, he gave basic instructions. Mukunda, Raghunandan, and Narahari were three such souls from Shrikhanda. And he told Mukunda, your service is to earn both material and spiritual wealth. By your sadhana, by your satsang, strict, you will attain spiritual wealth. This is the duty of every grihastha. You must earn material wealth to raise your family in Krishna consciousness. But even more important than that is to extend and be a proper servant of society by supporting the spreading of the compassionate work of the Lord. This is the duty. And to earn spiritual wealth means grihastha has no license to be loose. He must be very strict. She must be very strict. Don't think that because I'm not a brahmachari or sannyasi, that gives me license to not chant my rounds strictly and attentively every day. That it gives me license to not hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, to belittle the necessity of following the regulative principles, that it gives me the license to talk all nonsense, just to be a part of some sort of social life. No. To earn spiritual wealth means you have to be disciplined and strict in your spiritual practices, as much as anyone else. And at the same time, be an example of how one can be thoroughly responsible within human society, and at the same time, be completely unselfish, charitable, and pure in devotion to God. This was the instruction he gave Mukunda. And then Raghunandan, he told him that you should always engage in serving the deity in the temple. Temples are necessary because they are places where people come together to revive their spiritual goals and motivations in life. The pujari in the temple, if he's actually doing his service properly, he's not supposed to be just a lazy, unproductive parasite to society. He's not supposed to be a beggar. These days, when we go to holy places, oftentimes we see the pujaris. They become like beggars. We come to their temple, and their motive is not to give us love of God or give us some high standard of spirituality, but they simply want our money. This is unfortunate. Those who are living in the temple, they are meant to serve Krishna with such detachment, with such devotion, with such love, that they set such an example that anyone who comes to that temple, they can see Krishna, not in the form of the deity, but they can see Krishna more through the devotion of the servants of the deity. It is a fact. We see, and here in India, people go for thousands and thousands of miles to see the form of Krishna in some holy place, in some famous temple. But through that darshan, is their lives changed? Do they come away from that temple with a completely different view of life, with a spirit of devotion and surrender and detachment? That transformation comes when we associate with saintly people. The deity of the temple is meant to attract us to come, but it's the saintly people who teach us how to see the deity and how to serve the deity and how to love the deity. Therefore, there is a great need in society, an absolute necessity for such servants of the Lord. They may be brahmacharis, they may be grihastas, but they perform their work with utter simplicity as a service to society. And next he instructed Narahari that you should remain with my devotees and you should preach the glories of the Lord. Narahari Sarakar. For those who really have no connection in their own lives to any materialistic responsibilities, but who simply live amongst Vaishnavas and go out to preach the message of Krishna consciousness. One who preaches by his words must know that we have nothing to speak from our own created ideas, but a preacher is simply a messenger who delivers the words of his spiritual master, who is delivering the pure word of God, of Lord Sri Krishna. To preach means to repeat, not to create, but to repeat. But in order for that repetition of the truth to have potency, our example of life must be one with those words. Otherwise, if we are preaching but we are not following, we actually cause people to lose faith
rather than gain faith. To preach is a great responsibility. And it's a great sacrifice. Faith in God, faith in Krishna, is the most precious and valuable commodity in all of creation. And it is not easily attained. It is only attained by associating with people who have that faith, people who can nourish and culture that faith through their words and through their actions. A preacher should never be proud, because how can you be proud of what is not yours? Whatever we speak is Krishna's. It is Krishna's words. Srila Prabhupada would often tell us that my only qualification is I am simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. I have nothing else to give. And if I try to give anything else, I become a cheater. And this is the greatest charity, to give transcendental knowledge. So we find here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving Mukunda, Raghunandan, and Narahari three apparently very different services. But actually, they are all one, because they are all intimately dependent on one another. The social body of the four varnas and four ashrams is sometimes explained in such a way that the sannyasis are like the head of the social body. They give direction. The brahmacharis are like the arms. The grihasthas are like the belly. In this way, we should know that every part of the body is necessary. But the body can only be healthy when all parts are harmoniously working with one another, when all parts are serving every other part. Every devotee should feel oneself the humble servant of every other devotee. We should never think we are superior or better than anyone, because we're not. Every living being is part and parcel of Krishna, and it is Krishna who is residing within everyone's heart that is ultimately who we are serving. So in this way, to be the servant of the servant of the servant is to live in harmony with Krishna and in harmony with all other devotees. And without this principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant, whatever our situation is, we will create disharmony between our own soul and God, and disharmony with all other devotees of the Lord. It doesn't matter whether we are a temple president, whether we are a spiritual master, whether we are a pujari, whether we are a grihastha living outside, earning wealth, maintaining family. What matters is we are all in the spirit of being the servant of the servant of the servant. We all have that humble approach. to want to make sacrifice of ourselves in the service of the Lord and in the service of his devotees. And then together we can all live in the service of all living beings who are suffering due to ignorance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has personally demonstrated in his own life how simple and wonderful it is to be in this Krishna consciousness movement. It is a movement of true love and true trust. It is a movement where the petty quarrels and differences which take place due to people's false egos are not considered of any relevance, because we have a higher goal, a higher purpose. It is a movement in which, through the proper humble service attitude, we can transcend all of the materialistic problems which are causing such pain and suffering in this world. There are so many dangers, and there are so many imminent situations to cause us grief and sorrow. This Krishna consciousness movement is a movement where we together assist one another to rise above the bodily concept of life, to rise above the material modes of nature. Like a lotus flower, even in the most muddy and terrible polluted pond of water, it remains fresh, pure, and spotless. When devotees come together to chant the holy names of the Lord, we invoke the spiritual power of God to protect us from all of the calamities of material existence. When we come together for the purpose of chanting the holy names, in that spirit of servitude, then we are no longer in this material world. We are no longer subjected to envy and greed and pride and of all of the other reasons for quarrel and hypocrisy. Kali Yuga means the age of false ego. It is the age of ahankar. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And all quarrel and all hypocrisy is due to false pride. Is it not? And this false pride and the tendency for prestige is so deeply rooted in everyone's hearts that it's creating terrible chaos in the planet that we live. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Grihe tako vani tako sadahari boli tako, that whether you are a grihastha or whether you are a sannyasi or a brahmachari, just come together to chant the holy names of the Lord. Just come together to chant with humility. this is the means by which Krishna has given us in this age of Kali to transcend the false ego, to transcend all quarrel and hypocrisy of this age of Kali. And we see in our temple that those who are proud of whatever situation they may be in, they generally do not like to chant and dance together before the beautiful form of Radha Gopinath with other devotees. But when the kirtan is taking place, is there a difference between the brahmacharis in saffron and the grihastas in white? Does anyone even see those differences? Because in the beautiful, sweet kirtan of the holy name, when we are all dancing together and chanting together, we forget everything. And there's only one conception, that we are all the servant of Krishna. We are all simply trying to enthuse one another, to bring joy to one another in Krishna consciousness. That is the all-pervading mood in the kirtan of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is why it is of utmost importance. Every Sunday, so many of our devotees from various parts of Bombay come together. How important it is that we are all here to celebrate the aarti of Sri Radha Gopinath together. It is the only way possible that we can actually be united on a spiritual platform. What more important priorities do we have in our life? To come together, to chant and to dance, should be, especially at this time of the week, the only priority of our life. Why should we be late? Why should we have any other activity to perform? All of our other activities and all of our other services are meant to culminate in the congregational chanting of the holy name. And if it does not culminate in us coming together to chant the holy name, then there is going to be something seriously wrong with our own personal, individual spiritual progress, and there's going to be something very seriously wrong with our relationships with one another on a spiritual level. And we see, wherever devotees are not seriously making this a priority, then there's all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of confusions socially amongst each other. And we start losing our faith and losing our taste for spiritual life. And then we start getting more and more and more involved in material activities, thinking that there's some refuge, there's some happiness in that. And then we start thinking, is this Krishna consciousness movement work? It works if you practice it as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Sri Krishna prescribe it. If the doctor gives you medicine, but you don't take it properly, you should not think that the medicine does not work. Material desires will increase unless we are properly accepting the wonderful process that the Lord has given us to become transcendental. And that means we must culminate all of our service, all of our japa, all of our everything in coming together before the beautiful forms of Radha Gopinath and chanting and dancing together. There is nothing material about the kirtan of the holy name. It is the most powerful and most sublime means by which Krishna enters into our hearts. And there is no replacement for this process. Of course, there are other religious techniques. But if we are followers of the Yuga Dharma as established by Lord Chaitanya and as prescribed in all the Vedic scriptures, we must accept that this Harinam Sankirtan is the most important part of our lives. For the brahmacharis living in the temple, they are coming every morning to take part in this wonderful sankirtan. But for others, they only come on Sundays. This is the most important appointment you have of the whole week, to be here. And it is the most important appointment of the brahmacharis to be here with all of the grihasthas. It is the only chance that we really have to become one in harmony with Krishna in his loving service. So this is so important that we must very carefully organize our lives around this principle. And to minimize it is to minimize your spiritual progress. Krishna has appeared within his name. When we chant japa, when we are sitting alone, or perhaps amongst our god brothers, god sisters, or family members, we must approach the holy name with great sincerity, with great attention, very strictly according to the prescribed process that has been given to us. By chanting our japa carefully, by coming together and chanting kirtan enthusiastically, by striving to make the goal of our life to become humble, not to become rich, not to become famous, not to become successful. These things are all of some relevance, but our connection to God is through becoming humble servants. To simply apply these three principles of chanting the holy names, associating with devotees, and really striving to become humble servants, there will be no impediments to our spiritual progress. It may be difficult, it may be simple, but it must be done. If something is of an urgent nature, we do not consider whether it is difficult or whether it is easy. It must be done, by all means, at all costs. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath so kindly and mercifully have appeared in this beautiful, wonderful form, just to bring us all together. To serve them, to serve one another, and ultimately to chant their holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Om.